CliffCentral.com.
Unleashed with Kagiso Murupi.
Hi, this is Gloria Bosman, and you're hanging out with my boy, Kagiso Murupi, on Cliff Central. Hey, if you want to give us anything, give us yourself. That's the best gift you can ever give the world. Oh, yay, yay!
Unleashed with Kagiso Murupi. Unleashed with Kagiso Murupi.
Hey, and happy 2016. We are back. We are back with a bang, and the show is called Unleashed here on cliffcentral.com. So all you can do is just stream us live on cliffcentral.com, and you can hashtag us Unleashed on cliffcentral.com. And this is where, you know, you just hang out with us, and we've got very interesting topics that we talk about. We're talking from relationships. We talk from just issues that really will interest you. And, you know, as usual, we always just hang out with our very interesting guests. And I have to say today, you know, we're going to have a very interesting one because we've got the legend in the house. And I think I'm allowed to say legend because, you know, he's done everything that you can think of. You know, he's a musician, he's a composer, he's a businessman. This guy is just, he's just all in one. And you guys know him from, you know, mostly from The Lion King and what he's really done with it. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to waste your time, and I want to say Mr. Lebu M is in the house. Hey. Yay! Sharp was it, brother? How was it? Yeah, and I want to start.
You said 2016. It's 2018.
No, it's 2018.
You know.
I said 2018.
No, I said 2016.
Sure. Which means maybe I'm still behind.
I'll go fast track.
Yeah.
Give us.
Firstly, I want to get this out of the way. I want to get this out of the way, man. Yeah. I want to know, what do I call you? You know, because you're such a guy that fits in everywhere. Do I say Pralevza? Do I say Mr. Lebu M? Do I say Sir? What do I say?
Whatever I want to say.
Okay, go kasi ba wiza man.
So many.
Yeah, but that.
Go kasi ke Pralevza.
Yeah. Do you ever feel old when people are going Pralevza?
I don't know what old is.
Yeah, and that's another thing.
Old is a state of mind.
Yeah, old is a state of mind. That's why that's one thing I wanted to ask you. How do you stay so young? Because when I see you, I don't see. I mean, you don't mind me saying the age, right?
I'm 54. This
year. I don't see a 54 year old. I always see him jita. I always see out. You know, nice clothes. He's young. And what keeps you so young?
Life.
I like that.
I mean, you can't live life based on how difficult or how easy it is. You just gotta live.
Yeah.
And trying your best to stay on the positive.
Yeah.
Yeah. We call that life.
We call that life. Yeah. You know what my tagline is on Instagram? Inspired by life.
Come on.
Yeah. Good. Anything that's whether it's good, whether
because
it's
if you're inspired by life, you're able to wake up.
Yeah. Yeah. You're able to just wake up.
Yeah. If you're inspired by the color, you don't want to wake up.
Yes. Yeah, so it's January.
Yeah. No, especially if you're inspired by January.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to be inspired by something. Well, I'm very lucky. I'm blessed.
Yeah.
I have absolutely amazing kids.
Yeah.
I think now, you know, once you go through the many different phases of life, personally and professionally, I just watched my children grow and realize that with or without the money, with or without the success, my children will always be my inspiration. And that's my definition of life. And if you have nothing else to look up to or look forward to, you have to be able to find strength and courage in the simplest things in life that are not commercially viable or that are not commercially different. And the most simplest things in life are the most personal.
Yeah.
It's family and children. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's children.
Yeah.
You know, when I go to sleep and I wake up, the last picture in my head is my kids.
You and I have so much in common.
I heard that outside.
I want to ask you something when you say that. You know, one person once said this, and you've worked with this person before, you know, Brasello.
Yeah.
Maki Kangove. And he said, well, you know, if you stay young at heart, you know, even just your physique, you stay young. Do you believe in that?
I believe in not putting boundaries in your state of mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. As in... But remember, so far, I've been speedy mentally.
Yeah.
And once your mind is exhausted, then your spirit follows, then the rest crumbles.
Yeah.
So I think it's just living aggressively or, you know, any other way.
Yeah.
Ultimately, is a state of mind.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe, if anything else, knowing thyself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what is it that you want out of life?
Yeah.
But I like what you say when you say, you know, living out of boundaries.
Yeah.
You know, a wise man once said, you know, don't think out of the box, you know, because there is no box.
Yeah.
And that's what you do.
You think in a box, you stay in the box.
You stay in the box, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we hang out with the legendary Pralebu, Malume Papa Tishari, all in one. Lebu M is in the building. And you know what we normally do here, Pralebu? We talk about, you know, we have topics. And today's topic is, you know, roles. You know, a role, yeah,
I
a man.
Table roles.
Yeah. Yeah, a role of a man and a role of a really.
R-O-L-E.
R-O-L-E.
I thought we were going to talk about roles.
We're talking about roles, you know, roles. Okay. You know, what is a man's role in a relationship? What is a woman's role? Maybe also in a marriage. But before we talk about that, I actually want to have a conversation with you first. And I want, because this is you in studio, and I think there's so much that you have to give, you know, instead of just us talking about relationships, you know. But for our listeners out there, you know, they can send us their voice notes on 079-748-2090 and tell us, what do you think the roles are, you know, of a man and a woman, and what if they were reversed, you know. Let's say when you only out and you out of work and your wife is the one that's working, what do you need to do? Does this mean that you must assume the roles of a woman and now start cleaning? But before that, I want to talk about, you know, for the first half hour, we're going to talk about The Lion King. There's something interesting that's happening. The Lion King is celebrating 20 years.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm 34. So that means that when The Lion King started...
You said I'm 34, I did the math
really
quick.
Bah, bah, bah. Yeah, I mean, I was 14 when it started. Yeah. And so what are the plans for the 20th celebration?
Well, first, thanks for having me.
It's
awesome seeing the both of you. We're starting the year with a bang, coming out of the 20th anniversary of what easily is the biggest show in history, the Broadway production of The Lion King.
Yeah.
It's the most inspiring project and production to work with. I've been involved with the Lion King franchise from the movie.
Yeah.
So I'm basically approaching, 25 years?
Sure.
Working with this project and many other things. But this is takes over about 75% of my time.
Yeah.
Lion King has been a deep inspiration for me in many ways, because now we are entering the 20th year production, and yesterday, with great enthusiasm and excitement, we announced the new cast of the first international Lion King production.
Right.
And that is, for us, the biggest achievement of the Lion King franchise, because it follows the footsteps of what we did about 10 years ago. We launched the first South African production of the Lion King.
Yeah.
But this time around, we have expanded and have worked very hard to, first of all, it's a South African production.
Yeah.
Which is a huge achievement, because the 20th or the international touring production of Lion King could have come out of anywhere, especially America, because this is an American-based product.
Yeah.
But we worked hard and were able to successfully broker that the milestone Lion Kings always come from South Africa. So the first one we did was the 10th anniversary, which we did at the Teatro. Now we've put together the biggest Lion King production. That means the entire infrastructure leaves South Africa for 2 years in Asia, touring Asia, opening in Manila. And that's, you can't get any bigger than that.
No, you can't.
And most importantly to me, we've had a series of progressions.
Yeah.
Initially, when we did The Lion King about 20 years ago, we were hiring literally singers only and actresses.
Yeah.
10 years later, we expanded and found ways to incorporate South Africans in principal roles.
Okay.
And Silomaka was our first Mufasa, as
yes,
you know.
Yes.
And Brian Temba was our first Simba in London and yeah. around the world. And now we're very happy to now incorporate. In the last 20 years, we've hired well over 300 to 500 people spread around the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we've now entered a new phase where, for the first time in the history of the Lion King production, we have South African, other than 10 years ago,
yeah,
with South African musicians and the first black musical director, MD.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
And that's it. I mean, it took a lot to achieve that.
You know, Pralevza, just to jump in there, and I wanna ask you this question. You know, there's a lot of actors that you're not even talking about who have won awards, around the world. And you know, when you normally ask them like Bofulu, you ask them, or what have you been busy with, or where did you start, and they say the Lion King. Like, how does that make you feel?
Well, I don't know if I look at things from how it makes me feel.
Yeah.
Because if I look at it from that point of view, it's work.
Yeah.
But how, what my overall reaction to observing people is a different kind of reward that is not money,
yes.
that is not awards, is when you know as a human being that there's something that you do that changes people's lives.
Yeah.
And it's the biggest reward that anyone could ever wish for.
I know you're a humble guy. I know you're very humble, but inside of us, when someone says, I started with Lion King because yeah. I know that when you did this and when you go and you collect all these young people and young South African mm-hmm. actors, you're not just doing this for yourself, but you're doing this for the continent. And you might be humble about it, but isn't there like a little bit of a yes inside?
Let me put it this way. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But the truth of it is that there is no yes.
Yeah.
That kind of yes.
Now. Yeah.
When it comes, there's milestones.
Yeah.
That's different from yes, I got the next 10, because yeah. we've been doing that for 20 years now.
Yeah.
And we've seen what it does. I mean, it's rewarding. Every time I get Lamudlali, I turn
amazing.
On TV.
It's done amazing.
Or I go to a show, I see someone that's gone through our path.
Yes.
And on most television shows.
Yeah. You know,
I may not even remember the names, but I see faces.
Mm-hmm.
And we've contributed substantially to that. Now, but the yes is more on, how do I put this? There are many walls we break, the walls we win.
Yes.
Now, that's more the yes.
It's yeah.
like, it may be small, say in South Africa, that we have a first-time MD,
yeah,
music MD.
Yeah. Who's black in South Africa.
Who's black from South Africa,
yeah.
who is taking the show on an international tour. When you look at that contextually with the competition.
Yeah.
In New York alone.
Yeah.
In London. The people that have been working on Broadway at a high level theater,
yeah.
waiting for or hoping for that gig of being MD of any Broadway show,
yes.
let alone The Lion King.
Then,
so it takes a lot.
Yeah.
It takes a lot to maneuver and the politics behind.
Yeah,
the politics are pretty hectic, and it's a long time. 2.5 years of just brokering that quietly.
Yeah,
because everything else is a given. When I say it's a given, is people earn yeah. their place in the Lion King.
Yeah.
So it's not like we give. So through a series of auditions, through a series of
yeah.
disciplines, we don't just look at your talent.
You said the most important
yeah,
thing.
You earn your place
your
in the Lion King.
Yeah. Know?
So that's why it's not a yes for me. It's a yes for the person that got through the audition, and a yes for the people that were there yesterday that were announcing. It's a yes for them. Then what happens is, then what do they do after?
Yeah,
they're inside.
So we
look at that. Right?
You said something that's very important. You said we've been doing all of that quietly, and not all hustle needs to be loud. And when I look at you, you've been working for this industry. You've been working for Africans and not just South Africans, and you've managed to just do it quietly. you know, you didn't want you know, any props from the media, even though sometimes the media was a little brutal to you. And here's my question, because you've traveled the world. I want to know, what is the difference? You know, there's a lot of young guys who are chasing going to the States. You've been to Hollywood. You run Hollywood. You know, in my no, I and I say that, and I say that proudly, because you know you've made strides in Hollywood. Yeah. Now we come to South Africa. Do you feel that, you know, you've been treated with that kind of respect that you get in Hollywood? Are you recognized the way that Hollywood? Because when you go to Hollywood and you say Lebuyam, everybody knows who Lebuyam is.
Hey, no, I understand the question, and it's not the first time I get asked that question. Yeah. To be honest, I never have an answer for that question.
Yeah.
Here's probably the reason. When you do your work, especially work that's inspiring on a daily basis, I don't remember saying to myself, I want to be recognized.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I want, you know, to be given a street named after me.
Yeah.
Because this is work for me, you know, and it's inspiring to me. Now that's one part of it. And the other part is, once you know who you are, where you're from, and the historical and political dynamics such as South Africa, you don't pay attention to those things, because my responsibility as an artist, as in a South African, and as a South African, is not about being recognized or not in South Africa. My responsibility is different in South Africa as an artist, as a South African, and as a producer and as a businessman.
Yeah.
Now, it's different when you are... Everything else is a given, you know.
Yeah.
When you're in New York, in London, Paris, you get all this, the perks that come with the work, such as awards, recognition, and stuff. Our responsibilities are different. Yeah, I don't look forward to... if it comes, I embrace it.
Yeah.
Of course. You know, who wouldn't?
But Bralibs, you've been
can't live your life
and
do your job, focus on being recognized.
I get that. And I'm coming. I've got sorry poker. And
here's that metaphor.
I am poking, man. And I want to know, you know, you've experienced the industry in Hollywood, you know, and the industry this side. Mm. What do you think that we need to work on, you know, as an industry? Do you feel, and especially from government perspective, do you feel that the government needs to invest more into the arts and culture? The same way that I think, you know, I stand to be corrected, that, you know, when you look overseas, that, you know, the government does kind of invest into the industry.
Some of our criticisms, especially people like me, are somewhat unfair to the sector and to the country, specifically South Africa.
Yeah.
Is what I mean. I get unfair. We're entering the 23rd year of this dispensation.
Yeah.
We're a new country and a new democracy. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
When you do a comparative analysis between our industry and, say, competitive industries, America, Europe, you're looking at countries that have taken years, well over 50 years, sometimes even 100 years, to develop those industries. Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Now, the difference with us, however, where we fall short is both from the political infrastructure.
Right.
And the business infrastructure.
Right.
For some reason, since this new dispensation, the creative arts have never actually been looked at as a business from day one.
Yeah.
So if your political infrastructure, such as government, even though you have a Department of Arts and Culture, does not look at the sector, which is the most lucrative sector, in the same way that they look at from a very limited point of view, so-called sexy industries like mining and developing, you know, housing and things like that, from a business and commercial point of view,
we missed the boat.
Yeah, so that's one area.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other side of it, which is very difficult for me to make comment on, because times have changed. I used to talk a lot about this, but I think I can still talk with absolute confidence with it, even though there are exceptions.
Yeah,
the world we live in is a specialty world.
Okay.
Meaning, I still have difficulty with the identity of South African artists.
Yeah.
In the true sense of the creative, who we are.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen, there are one or two exceptions now. You got my brother DJ Black Coffee.
Yeah, who's got making your Trevor strides, Noah's,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got Trevor, you know. Absolutely awesome exceptions.
Yeah.
But when you look at things broadly, I struggle with the discipline first from an artistic point of view of our artists.
Okay, okay.
I struggle with the manner in which we approach the industry as artists.
Right.
Yeah. And then more South African artists,
okay,
specifically, and we haven't gotten what the rest of Africa and the rest of the world has, a very strong sense of self creatively, that get complemented by other cultures.
Okay,
it's like we're doing it the other way around.
Yeah.
You know, we take everything else from America,
from all over the world, and then we try and make it our own. Yeah,
in some weird way, we try to sneak in our Botswana or Mokosa,
the same way as now you've got Tswana hip hop.
And it's a conversation that needs to happen. Okay, we have this world now that is literally on your phone.
Yeah.
How many Black Coffees are we going to produce or deliver to the world in the next 3 years?
Yeah.
And you look at that competitively.
Yeah.
Against. How many Ladies Bleak Mambazos can we produce and deliver?
Yeah, in the next 3 years.
In the next 3 years.
Yeah.
And then the commercial viability of both.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So then that will force us to do research on who Ladies Bleak Mambazo is. Only thing we know about Ladies Bleak Mambazo.
And what makes them great all over the world.
I don't know if any... I'm assuming less than 25% of young people in South Africa know
who Ladies
Bleak Mambazo is.
Yeah.
But when you convert that to value of Ladies Bleak Mambazo as a South African property in cash, in value, in foreign currency versus rands, probably the biggest money makers in this sector in the last 35 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And the only time
How then you look at... then there's these other crazy people called Lion King, Bolebo M, and Bomama, you know. What is it that gave them an identity?
Yeah.
Globally. You know? When I left here, I was going to be the biggest R&B superstar. I was 16 years old.
Yes.
When I went to R&B.
No, I can see.
My entire early life now in South Africa was R&B.
Yeah.
Meaning I could sing anything R&B you can put before me. Then I went to high school in America.
Yeah.
And when you enter high school from grade 9, 10, 11, and 12 to America with your dream of being the next Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
And you're sitting daily in a classroom with people that are better than Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
Or better than Lionel Richie.
Yeah.
And you find your little corner somewhere.
Yeah.
Your whole self-esteem.
Yeah. Goes.
That's when you realize that you actually have no sense of identity that then gives you the creative energy. And then some... thing happens throughout, and then you find that you research Ladies Bleak Mambazo, you research Mahlathini,
you
research
Rahil,
and you research Hugh Masekela, and you find yourself, and then you make over $1 million from something so simple as to other people, yes, but from an identity point of view, that when I did Lion King, the movie, I've done maybe 4, 5, 6, 7 other movies.
Yeah.
And I've been hustling in America. So my point being, it doesn't necessarily mean we're not going to have hip-hop artists or R&B artists or DJs like my brother Coffee.
Yeah.
I just don't know from a capacity point of view.
If we are able to achieve that in 3 years.
Because ultimately, your competition...
Yeah.
Particularly in America, between New York and Los Angeles alone.
Is way ahead.
You're looking at penetrating a society that has over 20 million running the same sport as Puff Daddy.
But Alex, do you think that it's necessary for us to try and penetrate that space or create our own?
Yeah, we have to define create our own. because creating our own.
We can start where the Americans started, you know.
Which is where?
You said that, you know, obviously they've really started and invested because we've missed the boat, even via government. And we've been in this, 23 years?
What Americans
been
did?
Over Brock. 50 years.
I got lingale coffee, I'm not. So
yeah.
I'm
Yeah, ufukile umalamba. Yeah.
All that long thing I said
goes
to one point. Government and business
need to
cannot and will not create policy and invest in that which they do not believe in.
When you look
at the American side of things, from government to corporate sector,
they believe in
millions. I invested in the sector and in the artists.
Yeah.
Because it's them. It's, you have to do more than believing. It's who you are.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Jazz is American.
It's American.
Not foreign.
Yeah.
Hip hop is American. It's not foreign.
Yeah.
So anything, when it becomes commercially viable, that means you're able to export it everywhere else.
Yeah.
When you then contrast that to us, you see the people that have the power.
Yeah.
Erege Talo said differently. I wonder when you get in your car.
Yeah.
You have radio stations that you like, you know.
Yeah.
But everyone only lay their preferred type of music.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a big businessman that sits on $100 million and your pen makes it happen, and someone like you wants to come and have an idea, you want them to invest, or you want a government to create a policy, ultimately, people invest in what they love. So if 98% of my music collection is jazz,
then you invest in jazz.
In my car and in my home, and my friends know and love only jazz.
Brothers, I feel like
you can't inspire me to write a check for you.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
But you
can inspire me to write a check for foreign content called jazz.
Called jazz.
Because that's what I love.
That's what you love. But that's the thing. I feel like there's a lot of, you know, when we look at the corporate world, you meet up with a lot of businessmen and you're looking for funding. Let's say if you're a jazz artist or you want to get into films. I feel like they are not schooled with regards to how does it make business sense for someone who loves jazz to invest into music, because I think in South Africa all they see is Antonella Ekdale. Oh yeah, Kim Antonella go TV, but they never actually understand how the world of television and films and music work. So how do we then take it to them and school them? Because I'm looking at you and I think you're a businessman and not just you know, an artist. But and you sit around with businessmen, right? How do you feel we can school them?
Joe, didn't it difficult? Because I think we're in a crossroad and we'll get there. Né?
Yeah.
First of all, you can't school anybody. You can't. But what you can do, hopefully now we're talking about as a sector.
Yeah.
You got to create a sense of direction.
Yeah. Né?
That is motivated by our creative selves.
Uh-huh.
But if our creative self is not inherently who we are, it's very hard to get different guys to sit in a round table and create a business plan and a philosophy that influences government or the business sector.
Yeah.
So I'm very concerned about sense of direction as a creative sector to get to the point of convincing, not educating, but convincing investors, South African investors, business
and government,
to say we are a viable, lucrative
business.
Hey,
ladies and gentlemen, we're still hanging out with the legendary Lebu M is in the house. And don't forget, we're still going to have a topic with him. You know, we're talking about roles. You know, what are the roles of a man and a woman in a relationship? And what happens if those roles are reversed? So let me explain this. So if the role of a man is to provide for the household, what happens when he loses his job? Does this mean or now Tantan Nemakoti and Afrifis Dupu? Or what must really happen? Send us your voice notes on 079. 4-7-4-8-2-0-9-0. We hang out with Lebu M, and the Lion King is celebrating 20 years, a milestone, and we still hang out with him. But we're going to talk more business after this, and then we're going to get into our topic.
CliffCentral.com.
So we are back, and we still hang out with Lebo Emba, and you can stream us live on cliffcentral.com, where we, you can catch us every Wednesday, 3 p.m. Till 4 p.m.
This should be live.
Yeah.
Live on TV.
Yeah, live on TV.
You have like cameras, got us to look at you.
We do. I think Vuv is actually one of our sponsors.
I can love it.
Yeah. So, Rushe.
Because I love this action.
Yeah. So, Pralebza, let's talk about this. We're still talking about the industry. Yeah. For me, you know, you don't see a lot of animation movies that are coming out of South Africa. You know, what's your take on it? Do you think we need to invest more, or what's the reason that we don't have a lot of animation movies coming out of South Africa?
Do we have a lot of any other non-animation movies?
We do. I mean, we've had movies that come out. You know, we've had a couple of movies win awards.
Boma.
Yeah.
How many movies do we deliver a year?
Yeah. How many movies do we deliver a year?
Whether it's animation or not.
Yeah.
Is a question. The question is not the actual type of content it is. Is how viable and lucrative is the sector?
Yeah.
The movie making sector.
Yeah.
Now, is it making money for somebody?
Yeah.
You can have 100 movies out.
Yeah.
Yeah. The quality of the movie, and is it competitive, and is it making money?
Yeah.
For people called investors. So yeah. I don't have the answer for that because I'm not here all the time. But my guess is I'm not even sure what we say when we say we. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. now when you break it down or in terms of the demographic of society,
yeah,
how many black people are producing movies,
yeah,
and have access to money to produce movies,
yes,
versus and the kind of quality of movies we produce,
yeah,
how many Spike Lees do we have?
Hey.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then when you look at that against the I don't know if anyone has done research that says how many movies are released in the last 10 years in South Africa, and what kind of money is invested in by the private sector,
yeah,
and by the various communities.
Yeah.
And I'm aware of, you know, your DTI incentives, your IDC incentive, but I'm also aware of the fact that those ultimately means nothing because they're loan.
Yes.
I've done and tried to enter getting some serious money.
Yeah.
And from what I get. IDC, NEF, you have to have some money in your account.
In your account.
To get some money.
Yeah.
DTI analysis, different incentives. So when you look at it broadly, then in the society, how many black people have 5 million rand in their account or 2 million rand in their account in order to access the available funds?
Yes, from DTI.
From, let's say, DTI or in order to do a deal with IDC or anyone else, because NEF and IDC and everybody else, they are there, but you have
you
to,
need to have money.
It's also been a new and utole nyugu to get you started. Now you got to be able to say competitively in our society, how many people from families or from associates have the money for their applications to go through?
Yes.
For the product, because your product could be great. So I'm nowhere near the animation space because that's triple digit money.
Yeah.
To be competitive.
I think you're depressing me.
No, I'm not. Because I'm inspiring
you're telling the truth.
You.
Yeah. No, because you're telling the truth.
I'm inspiring you.
Look, you've got systems like, you know, the Black Emerging Film Makers Fund. And for me, I feel like the mandate there is to have more black filmmakers and to make them understand the system.
The mandate
but the
for
thing
who?
Is but it, that's mandate from government. But I feel like, you know, it's failing the people that it's supposed to serve because then people get chopped down via, you know, qualifying for it because you don't have new.
Yeah. Well, there's another way to look. I don't mean I'm not qualified to say anybody's failing or not.
Yeah.
But I can say this. Is it possible that we are failing ourselves?
Yeah.
That's the artists.
Yeah.
And the creative community.
Yeah.
There's two things that I see happening, and by way of discussion and recommendation, what needs to happen.
Yeah.
If 98% of us, I'm just guessing a number, mm-hmm. and I think I'm right. If 98% of us in the community only want to be on stage on the other side of the camera, and we don't have a substantial amount of people in the creative arts that are looking at very important aspects of society, very important aspects of the sector, that say we are going to be the ones that influence policy, were going to be the ones that influence the direction in which investment must come.
Yeah.
Right now, we create a lot of the giving. We rush to create product. We rush to make product. We rush to be on stage. Nothing wrong with that, but it's a given. We're not developing intellectual capacity.
Yes.
In our community that is going to be the decision makers 20 years from now. We have to be able to say, we're 23 years into this thing.
Yeah.
23 years from now.
Yeah.
It's almost like now if I can get some minutes of Asian culture,
I'll get
shot the next day.
Yeah.
You know why? Because I will shut down auditions, I will shut down new products, I will shut down everything.
Okay, let's start from scratch.
Let's go from scratch. Let's learn the business. Black people learn the business first. Then learn the legal aspects of the business. And say the creative is a given. We're very talented. And it's enough for that. But we don't own and control the sector because we don't have enough intellectual capacity
to handle deals, to
make proposals for business, to make proposals for government.
Yeah.
We don't even know what was I got to have about a legend.
Yeah, our legend.
Or icon. No, seriously.
Yeah. No, you are.
I'm not joking. Let me qualify that.
Yeah.
We have created a psychology that's actually damaging to artists.
Right. Explain.
When you say you are someone is an icon or a legend in America, that is not defined by the hit song they just did last week.
Yeah.
You understand?
Exactly.
It's not a joke. That is defined by the amount of time you've been in the industry.
Yeah. And the amount of time you've invested into the industry.
Not invested.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will tell you simple things.
Okay.
The amount of money you have in your account.
I mean, we have our legends now when we say, or you know, our legends are dying as paupers. So we're calling them legends, but there's no money in the account.
So it's a myth then.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So in other words, we're just adapting and using phrases
that we have no idea about. Yeah.
That really misdirect our focus. At all?
Yeah.
When you have a young person at 14, Akala enter industry and Bashai hit stage 3 in the next 5 years, and then a newspaper writes, oh, the legend so and so.
Yeah.
That is not really, from my point of view, a constructive way to construct individuals in the sector.
Yeah.
We have to realign and recategorize these terms,
yeah,
so that people can learn to earn those terms, so people can learn to understand that I refuse to be called legend because I don't have $10 million in my account.
Yeah,
I haven't been in the industry 50 years.
Yeah,
I've been in the industry, I'm approaching about 30-40 years in the industry. But from a professional and global impact, which is another thing, how much impact do you have globally?
Yeah.
Or at least in the continent.
In the continent,
to begin to qualify to be called legend or icon 20 years from now.
Yeah. 20 years from now. Yeah. So. Because what you generally have now is, I think we also just make these decisions from an emotional, you know, a space where you find there's this artist who passes on. You know, and depending on how they passed on, and we are all emotional. Hey, how can Kagiso Modupi die, you know, from being robbed or whatever, or just being in an accident? And South Africa is shattered because, you know, I'm currently just maybe big on whatever that I'm doing. And then all of a sudden, there's this monument that's named after me. And all of a sudden, I get called a legend. You know, and here's my question when it comes to times, because I've seen already they've also given out, you know, the awards to Lifetime Achievement Awards. You find out there's people who started in the industry and then left. And then later on, Lebu M comes back and he's got a production after 20 years. And then we have, you know, that Kagiso come back after 20 years. And now we give them, because they do one production, and then we give them a Lifetime Achievement Award. Like, what is your take on that, with that gap? Should they get a Lifetime Achievement Award in that gap?
I don't even know if it's related to the gap.
Yeah.
Is again, now I'm just a simple guy. Life has taught me, always go back to the fundamental basics.
Yeah.
when you sit in a boardroom and you say you're going to give somebody a lifetime achievement award, what is your, how do you categorize that? What do you look at?
Do you
look at the commercial success? Do you look at the amount of time they've been in the industry? Do you look at the domestic and global impact? So that's not a decision that's up to me. Again, or anyone. I think it's one of those things that are just loosely done. We need to go back to fundamental basics.
What is it?
And redefine ourselves as artists and South African artists. Redefine these various many rules that we really have adapted from American Europe.
And who comes up with
and
these rules?
Because, yeah.
Who comes up with these rules? Because the thing is...
Do you know that Nalu and I can start a company today and get some money and give lifetime achievements to our friends next week?
True.
You understand? Now, what impact does any of this have on the industry? Does it inspire or does it make people less inspired? Because as long as we don't have a philosophy overall of earning to, in order to receive something, we're not teaching young people to earn stuff, to work harder, to invest in time in order to get a Grammy, an Oscar, a Lifetime Achievement Award, or South African Music Award, or any of those awards. We get too soon to awards without even qualifying the quality of the content that we put out, whether it's movies, albums, or things like that. Not that there are no great achievements. There are. It's a lot of talent. It's a lot of brains. I went to fill up F&B. Now, what pains me about that is that young brother, Casper, for achieving what he has achieved, that no one has achieved, black or white, government, business, and politics should be saying, okay, how many millions do you want and what are your next dreams?
How do we then invest in you? So that you can be the next Black Coffee.
You're potentially bigger than Lewem and Black Coffee combined.
Bigger than Lady Smith Black Mambazo.
So I don't know the infrastructure that identify special brains, special talent.
Have you ever knocked? Have you ever knocked on the doors of the people that we think they should make these decisions?
Yeah, I knocked and...
And you got kicked out.
I'm always thinking of going back to exile. So, but when I mentioned Casper, I mentioned Coffee, and I mentioned people like you and many others, it's like it's a crucial time to talk and re-look at things because... We know the given. We have great minds. We have great talent. We need, as a sector, the record, the film, and television, create a platform that then looks at the fundamental basics so that we have influence on business and government. It's not the other way around. It's not business and government pouring money on us. You can't pour money on something that's not clearly defined.
I want to ask something, you know, and maybe just deviating a little bit. And I stand to be corrected as well. I know in America, before you play NBA, you know, you play college football, right? There's a bit of a structure in how you get into, let's say, what we call the Premier League.
The Premier League, yeah.
And how do you feel about now in South Africa? You know, anybody can be picked from the streets and they into the industry, or maybe they've got a big social media following and then they're in the industry. How do you feel about that? And do you think that we should just let it happen, or we need to put a structure together into how do you actually get into this Premier League space?
The Premier League structure you talked about is not limited to football or basketball. Even and especially the entertainment industry. Once you get signed for an album, there's a structure that has lawyers and accountants and publicists. It's automatic. So these are the fundamental things that we want to honor from an industry and a sector point of view. Those fundamental basics don't exist. You know, you get a guy that's very talented. They call me.
Or
they call my office. It's not their agent or their lawyer.
They call.
They do their own deal.
It's,
you know, they book themselves to your show.
But maybe it's because we don't have that caliber of managers, the caliber of agents.
We don't have the thinking to create that in the sector.
Yeah.
we're at a critical 23 years later. We need to realign and create that kind of thinking. But again, I love it and I'm relaxed. I got one coffee. Yeah. I know there's a budget issue. He's
yeah.
Hush up.
Yeah.
Get it? Yeah. Ultimately, we as creative people have to convince business and government that we're a viable business commodity.
Yeah.
To invest in. And we can't do that really fragmented.
No. But what causes the fragmentation, Brelebza, is our hunger. Because now what I've seen in the industry is that, you know, I've tried to start like a union at work and just not even about money, but where we talk about, you know, how does an artist need to be treated, you know, the working conditions. And you find that you will push this because you're on a permanent thing, but you're also dealing with people who are new in the industry, who are trying to break into the industry, or this is their first break, and then, you know, back over. So how do you then bring all of that together? We've sat in meetings and we've had conversations with even legends, you know, who were trying to start a union. But then their issues are about, you know, so where do you even start?
If it's true, it's a fact. My responsibility is to figure out how I compliment you with my experience and my wisdom.
Yeah.
But the other way also matters. In fact, the other way matters the most.
Yeah.
You need my wisdom, how to protect that money.
Yeah.
So we have to find a meeting place.
Yeah.
Those that making the money and those that have the experience that have walked the walk, how to protect you from destroying yourself.
Yeah.
By the money, because you see, some of us have made it, lost it, so we've seen it. We don't want to see you make it and lose it and go back to the hood, which is the norm.
Yeah,
it's very few of us literally who make the money and sustain it.
Yeah.
So again, the thinking of the industry, the sector, I don't know how this is going to happen. Identifying like-minded, respectable principles.
Yeah.
From communities
that
really have a passion for development of this sector.
Yeah.
Most right now have the passion for developing artists.
Yeah.
Very few from our community have the passion for developing the sector
itself. Yeah.
That is business management, legal, publicists.
Yeah.
Their strategies and everything they know about how to be a publicist is how to sell a car.
Yeah.
They don't know how to sell a song and how to sell your movie.
Yeah.
So
because they don't understand the industry.
Yeah, my passion, my dream is like, you know, in our lifetime we see that kind of holistic, non-ego driven passion that wants to redirect the thinking of the energy and this of the sector from a business point of view, because we were once there.
Yeah.
If, you know, some of my friends that are in the industry, it pains me to see that they are not out there. But if you look at 15, 20 years ago, the guys that drove the record business, Linda Lanemkiese, Lazisa Robert, they're all not there.
Yeah.
Because there was not a sustainable plan.
Yeah.
I don't know. Simnand,
yeah.
Man, I'm saying if you go more 45, over 65, and golf. Who's going to now from my community take over and build my legacy and holistically our legacy? You know, my biggest worry is when I check out or when I go play golf at age 89, who then is going to step into my shoes and sit in boardrooms in New York and Los Angeles and Japan and Tokyo and continue the legacy?
But Lisa, we've got 5 minutes to the show, till the end of the show, and I've got so many questions for you. I want to talk about this giving back, and there's two questions, but I want to start with this one, giving back. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, when you hustle, because you hustled on your own. You know, and I stand to be corrected, but you hustled on your own, you went overseas, knocked on doors, and actually found this. And then now all of a sudden, you're big, and, you know, now you must come out and say, I'm South African. You know, when South Africa did not invest in your dream. And there's people who are bold enough to come back and say, you must give back. How do you feel when someone says to you, give back? Can you give back what you didn't get?
Is that a trick question?
it's a straight question. I mean, it ties in with what we are saying.
Where's it came from?
When
we talk in past tense, it's very hard for me to understand. When you say, you know, you've hustled.
You're still hustling.
I'm still hustling.
Yeah. And you're still hustling. Yeah.
You know the saying, it's hard to get on top and harder to stay there?
Yeah.
The real hustle is on top and staying there. Giving back, many people have different perceptions of giving back. And to us, it's not giving back, it's doing that which rewards us. And I've already talked about that.
Yeah.
Nothing rewards me more than seeing people's lives change because I've either opened the door or I've given some opportunity.
Yeah.
I don't feel obligated to answer any question that says I'm not giving back because I didn't get from South Africa.
Yeah.
I can never ever allow anyone, including myself and you, to say I didn't get from South Africa.
Yeah. Okay.
Because the very center of who I am
is South
my
Africa.
Professional success is purely actually because I'm South African.
Haha.
Nothing else.
Yeah.
My culture, my identity is South African. I get paid crazy money for being South African first, long before that and after that. So, so I don't get confused about what created the opportunity for me to be successful in the future.
Yeah,
it's who I am, it's my identity. So I owe it to myself to open doors where possible, to give opportunity where possible, to hustle for others where possible.
Yeah.
Now, also, we've also learned that, you know, when you do so much for so many, you also must be careful how not to give entitlement to people. That's it. Okay, let's talent in guy, and guy car. So it's a gray area. But there's a formula how to identify people that are worthy of your energy and your time. And your money to invest in.
Lebu M, what would you want to be remembered for? Like, let's say, Kiyo Pralibs out to it. What would you want to be remembered for?
Out to it, check it out.
No, no, no. I'm just saying, like, what would you want to be remembered for?
For my pride as a South African. And not the not necessarily the commercial success. Because that's neither here or there. One always hopes to be remembered for doing your best for your fellow men and women. And I think I go to sleep very happy that I've done my best and will continue to do my best to open doors for others.
I like that. I take that. I know we had our topic today, but you had so much to give, and I think we're going to talk about this topic next week.
Topic of Helenetsa Batoria.
No, man, you know, and it's only just you know, you only get one chance to actually have you know, Lebu M in the studio because you are all over. I want to say, you know, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations for what you've achieved, not just for yourself, but for Africa, for us, you know, and we look forward to seeing more of what Lebu M is going to do. And we hope that you have a successful tour in Asia. And yeah, continue by our G, man.
Thank you.
And we really appreciate you coming back, Komzansi, and just always checking.
Thanks for having me here. This was fun. It was very relaxed.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Unleashed with myself, Kagiso Modupi. Pralebza, where do we get you on social media?
Hey, I don't know.
No Twitter, no Instagram, no AA.
Yeah,
I would hope.
54 is not easy.
You can catch me at Kagiso Modupi on Facebook, also on Instagram, on Twitter, and we're gonna play out with Lebu M's song, and and we appreciate you being here, and catch us next week, same time at 3 p.m. till 4 p.m. every Wednesday. And the show is called Unleashed, and we are on cliffcentral.com.